I want to thank you for your attention to this issue. And life is one of those issues that we have regularly fought for and have defended. And whether it's at the state level or at the federal level, continuing that defense. And Diane has done a great job. She's spearheading a couple of bills right now. And what you all had asked me to talk about today is what we're going to do about these issues. The issue with Planned Parenthood is something that is just so clearly defined. And seeing these videos, having met with those that were working on these videos prior to their being made public, and seeing in their own words, in a very casual and flippant and familiar nature, that these employees would talk about harvesting and manipulation and utilization of these fetal body parts. It is something that is absolutely abhorrent. We can't imagine that that was taking place. Now, there's another stat that I want to lay before you as we discuss this and as we look at what has happened with Planned Parenthood and why it is important that our state legislators do exactly what you all are doing, and I thank you for leading the way on this. These aren't my numbers or Diane's numbers. These are Planned Parenthood's numbers. Think about this. 2013, they provided 327,653 abortions. That same year, for adoption service, they made 1,880 referrals. And then for prenatal services, they conducted 18,684 prenatal services in total. That means that looking at their 2013 numbers, abortions made up 94.1% of Planned Parenthood's pregnancy services. Prenatal care, 5.4%. Prenatal care and adoption, 5.4%. And this is the problem. They get $540 million federal dollars every year. $540 million. And that money goes into this total pool. And then you look at where they're putting that money, and what you see is you've got 94.1% of what they do in abortion. Abortion is big business for them, and they are the nation's largest abortion provider. That is undeniable. It is undeniable. So this is what we're doing, and I'm going to run you through a little timeline of what we are doing at Energy and Commerce Committee. There are four priorities that we're going to have in our investigation. Number one, are abortion providers profiting from the sale of fetal tissue? Number two, are abortion providers changing procedures in order to maximize the harvesting of fetal tissue? Number three, are patients being given sufficient informed consent when fetal tissue is donated? And number four, what congressional action is necessary to make certain that this process stops? Now, we have looked at the videos. We have had questions raised. Of course, we want to know. When you look at these videos, of course you want to know if there is a profit that has been made from these sales, because they admit the sales are taking place. You hear them talk about manipulation, which brings us to item two. They want a less crunchy method for preserving those parts. And then we've seen some of these consent forms. What kind of consent? How much do people understand as they sign these? And then number four, as we look at congressional action that is necessary to respond, some of the things that are ideas that have been born out of the community here, Bobby Petray, of course, has been such a part of that. Maybe Planned Parenthood should separate into two different entities, one for family planning services and an unrelated and separate for abortion services. so that people will know how their funds are being spent. Now, the timeline by which we have approached this, just for your information and you all to know, July 15th is when both the Energy and Commerce and the House Judiciary Committee sent a statement forward and served to notice that we were going to begin our investigations. On July 17th, Energy and Commerce sent a letter to Cecile Richards, the president of Planned Parenthood for America, requesting a briefing with Dr. Nucatella. That was the woman that was featured in the first video. And she is the Senior Director of Medical Services. Planned Parenthood responded to our July 17th letter on the 20th, signaling that they would not make Dr. Nucatella available, but instead would make Dr. Reagan McDonald Mosley, their Chief Medical Officer, available. The House Judiciary Committee on July 17th sent a letter to Attorney General Lynch demanding to know if there had been violation of the Partial Birth Abortion Ban Act. And then you get to July 27th with the letter that I sent to DOJ, joined by 135 of my colleagues, requesting to know if there had been any violation of the Interstate Commerce Clause in the sale and transacting of these. And then our committee, again, Energy and Commerce, on August 7th, sent letters to Planned Parenthood, Advanced Bioscience Resources, Novogenics Labs, and STEM Express, requesting briefings and information regarding that organization, each individual organization's practices relating to human fetal tissue collection, sale, and or donation. And then last week, our committee had a briefing by Dr. Reagan McDonald Mosley regarding their practices. And this brings us to the next steps, which is we go back in September and we begin the hearings and investigations. Chairman Pitts, Chairman Murphy, Upton, and I will be involved in those and will continue to be in touch with you all as we work through this process. And again, I thank you for your interest and yield the time to my colleague, Diane Black, who has done great work on this issue.
Thank you. And I will inform the members that we did want to give the congressman as much time as they needed. And with that, Chairman Faison has just said we will commence rule review at 1:45. That will allow Congressman Black to be able to get through her presentation without rushing it. Congressman Black, thank you very much for being here today. Representative Stewart, we told the congressman we're going to just let them present. If questions can be asked, you can ask them after the meeting, but we're just letting them present.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, point of order, don't you think we should be able to ask the congresswomen questions here for the public to address their issues?
No, we've just allowed the congressman to come and present what they were doing. Again, these were two of the people who have been very vocal and outspoken about their position, and we've asked them to come present to the committee.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and you run a fair committee, and I appreciate it. My only concern is, you know, they're making public statements, and I think the people are getting shortchanged here because no one's allowed to question these public officials about these statements they're making in this committee. I don't think that's good process.
Your concerns are noted.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I thank you, and I thank Chairman Faison and members of this committee for holding this hearing and inviting us today to speak. I want to be very transparent today. Many of you know me, but for those of you who don't, I'm a mother, I'm a nurse, I'm a believer in the God-given value and the purpose of innocent life, have fought for it all my career, and I wholeheartedly oppose Planned Parenthood. So let's get that out of the way. Congressman Blackburn has already given you some statistics. Planned Parenthood Federation of America is the largest abortion provider in the nation. More than 327,000 abortions are performed annually by their organization. Tennessee largely defunded Planned Parenthood of America in 2009, but its affiliates across the country still receive about more than $500 million in federal funding each year. And this means that when your constituents and my constituents pay for their federal taxes per year, they continue to foot the bill for Planned Parenthood's activities. It is clear by now that the Planned Parenthood may have broken, and I say may have broken, some laws in at least three ways. And I want to talk briefly about each one of those. Number one, the NHI Revitalization Act says that you can't either alter the timing or the methodology of abortion for the sole purpose of obtaining tissue. Now, we have a Planned Parenthood doctor who talks about using a less crunchy technique. It is valid to ask, do you use a less crunchy technique in all abortions? Dr. Nicotola, as has already been said, says that they crunch above and below the heart, the lungs, and the liver to leave those organs intact. Is that a procedure that's used in every abortion or just those where you're solely obtaining fetal tissue? Number two, the federal ban on the partial birth abortion became a law in 2003. Dr. Nicotola on the film says that partial birth abortion, the definition is, and I quote, up to interpretation. And she also says, and I quote, what ultimately happens really doesn't matter, end quote. Number three, profiting from the sale of tissues is illegal. Why is there no fee schedule? If they're not making a profit, why on the film was Dr. Nicotola saying that, why don't you give me your best price? If this were not being a profit, then you would have a fee schedule. Here's how much it costs us to harvest the tissue, how much it costs us to store the tissue, and how much it costs to transfer the tissue. At best, this is a poor business model and terribly sloppy bookkeeping. At worst, this is criminal activity and the most barbaric kind. I now want to talk about what we are doing in Congress, adding to what Congressman Blackburn has already talked about and they are doing in their committee. There are three House committees that are investigating. As Congressman Blackburn has indicated, the committee that she's the vice chair, Energy and Commerce, also Oversight and Judiciary. There are hearings being held upon conclusion of the August district work period, and that will continue to go on. But there are enough lingering questions right now to freeze Planned Parenthood of America's funding today. And that's why I've introduced a bill, H.R. 3134, the Defund Planned Parenthood Act of 2015. This places an immediate moratorium on Planned Parenthood's funding for a span of 1 year while Congress conducts a thorough investigation. It would not reduce, and let me just make sure this is understood because this is a question that's been out there, it would not reduce an overall women's health funding by a single dime. This would simply reallocate those dollars to other providers that in many cases are offering a broader range of preventative care services to women. My legislation has the support of over 160 co-sponsors in the House of Representatives, and I'm pleased to report that the House leadership has expressed to me their intentions to call up this bill for a vote later when we get back into session. I want to thank this General Assembly for carrying out this investigation of your own. Tennesseans of all political persuasions deserve to know that our laws are being followed and that their tax dollars are being spent with integrity. Your oversight efforts will help ensure that this is the case, and I very much appreciate it. Normally, I don't give advice to direction to the state or the local government, but nothing about this video is normal. And so today, I speak to you not as a legislator, but as a mother and a nurse, and to urge you to continue the full and fair investigation that you need to aggressively pursue the facts here to make sure no laws are being broken. And I ask that you not be deterred by attacks that will come against you, as has already occurred, for the questions that you ask and your sincere motives. And if laws were broken, I encourage you to hold the responsible parties accountable to the fullest extent of the law. And I thank you again for your attention to this matter and for allowing me and my colleague to be here with you today.